On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, ski trip, 25 things to know before you eat in a fancy restaurant, 1984 and 666.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Did you miss us out there, people? It's been a little while.
We've been missing.
I had a big ski trip. That was part of the issue.
Boys, ski trip.
But we've been just feeling, we've been under the weather anyway on top of that.
Yeah.
It's hard to get back in the groove after that.
Like literally and figuratively speaking, both. So.
Right. But yes, I did just get back from a ski trip. And you're right, it was an all-guys ski trip. Which, you know, it's a tribal thing. I think guys need to get away like that once in a while, just like you girls need to get away.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
I think even going back to like DNA, back when we were hunter-gatherer things, you know, during the day, the guys were gone.
Yeah.
Or at least, and maybe for months or weeks even, right?
Yeah.
Doing hunting and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of evolved that we're supposed to have that time once
a time away, a time apart.
What do you think?
I think it does us both a world of good.
Well, I was up there with three other guys, and one of the guys is a local dude, and he kind of introduced me to the other two guys, but I didn't grow up like best friends with any of them. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't want to say I was an odd man out, but I guess in that respect I was.
Yeah, because they kind of grew up together, knew each other since they were young.
And in college was a big, they all went to UK earlier than I did. But that gives you something in common there too. But anyway, it was just an interesting meeting brand new people like that.
And, yeah, yeah.
And one dude, I'll go through some of the stuff with him, just funny things that I thought was interesting about some of these dudes. The first dude, we're in the middle of Eastern Kentucky. We're a bunch of hillbillies. And all the other guys on this ski trip were, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Except one.
Uh-huh.
This dude from New York City, who was born in New York City. He's got, I'm not going to say his real last name and all that, of course, but, you know, it's like a last name like Ficino, or, I mean, just the most Italian sounding right off the boat.
Hope it wasn't Soprano.
Zano, who knows? But short dude.
Uh-huh.
Very just Italian looking.
Like kind of our stereotype. Like if you ask a hillbilly, like.
Yes.
To describe. Exactly right. Like
an inner city Italian dude.
Yeah.
That's who, yeah.
It would be him. It's yep. Mario and Luigi.
There you go.
Yeah.
So.
We're hillbillies.
And this guy's, you know, I got that he's from the trip. A very successful real estate dude in New York, or at least in some rental and a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Super nice guy in a million different ways. He had that very Joe Pesci, like real hyper, everything mm-hmm. was going on was like just awesome, like right that second kind of a peppy guy.
God,
I'm telling you, he's like Joe Pesci.
Yeah,
really. From his comedy movies, he was Joe Pesci. Frankly,
okay,
which
okay.
is fun to hang around with. But the one thing right out of the box that I wanted to discuss with you, and just an in general thing, this guy was the most racist dude I've probably, you know, I was going to say I've probably ever met, but no, it's the way he, this is complicated. I've been wanting to talk about this with
you. Uh-oh.
Oh. Like this dude is racist. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from his language, like if you just transcribed his words to paper, he would sound like the most racist human being you've ever met.
Uh-huh.
But some of that, there's some tone, and he's trying to be funny and make jokes about it. Like, there's sarcasm and funny wrapped up in the racism. And then, now, there's a few things that he says that's just straight racist.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of it is using funny racist words that he thinks funny in that kind of a way. What do you think? What's your take on that?
That's just... It's all bad.
It's weird coming out of the box.
It's when it's 50 Shades of bad. It really is.
It's funny for some to me, or odd.
Uh-huh.
Again, as an odd man out of whatever.
Yeah, you can't exactly, and I understand that. I mean, I'm sure that there are people, oh, you should have said something and stood up for, you know.
But when you come right out of the box within probably 30 minutes of meeting somebody, dropping the N-word, like it's nothing, like that's something.
Yeah. And it's kind of odd that it's the guy from the big city that is doing that, and it's the guys from Kentucky who are not.
Right. And we all, because I just didn't say anything. Like, I really wouldn't laugh. I didn't really say say any response back. And these other guys didn't much either. His buddies.
Yeah. Like, he made everybody uncomfortable.
But then you get the other guys alone, and they're like, that's Joe Pesci. He's just the same old guy he always was. Anything comes out of his mouth. Like, they just kind of wrote it off. Well, that's just him. So I don't know, but I just found it odd.
Well, was it his cabin you were all staying in?
No.
Okay. No. I was going to say maybe they all just put up with him for his cabin, but obviously somebody invited him.
No. And again, some of it was meant to be funny. There's no doubt about it. Like, he was being funny, sarcastic, racist. But then there would be a few things that was like,
legitimate racist.
Legitimate racist.
He was just a loud mouth. Kind of
trying to be
jerk.
Funny. I don't. Well, and if you besides that, like, you'd have thought, you know, nicest dude, just joking about everything.
Wow, I can't pull the two apart. I couldn't. Like, if,
well, that's where my little conflict is internally.
Yeah.
It is. It is odd.
I'd
love to give you examples, but I don't want you to go crazy.
Yeah,
saying the N-word.
No, yeah.
And that's another odd thing too. I thought about before this show even. I still think it's odd, and I hate giving up the ability to even say that word if I'm quoting somebody else saying it.
Yeah.
I will still not understand how that is so.
I think the way society is changing right now, though, I think we will have that right back in our lifetimes.
You know, it's funny as you're saying.
We'll get that right back. It will be for academic use, because you are going to be talking about a point in history when this word was a hot button topic.
Right. Well, that's.
But it's just not a comfortable thing to say right now. And if somebody says, "Hey,
say
please
it.
Don't," then don't. You know,
I'm gonna say it in an example in an academic discussion here. All right, so this is my problem. I think we've even discussed on the show before.
Yeah.
In the book Huckleberry Finn, they use the word nigger in that book.
About a billion times, I think.
Okay. Is that legal for me to say without getting lynched? I'm talking about a physical fact. It's in a book.
I know.
I'm not being in the least bit racist.
I know, but you have to understand that right now, like, the movement in America for people of African American descent
who are now Americans.
Who are either black or African American, or however they want to define themselves. That's their choice. They have asked us, please stop using this word. I respect that. I respect their right to say, please stop using this word.
Do you think they're saying,
there's only one, or really, like you're being devil's advocate there. Okay, you are arguing the academic point.
Yeah.
Well, every other person who wants to say that because he wants to call someone that.
Right.
Stop using that. Like, everybody needs to for a little while.
Even in academics.
Let it cool off. Yes.
Even in academics.
Yes, just let it cool off a while.
All right, well, how long do we have to let it cool off, Petra?
I don't know, but things are changing in our society so fast right now. like 3 weeks ago, the discussion about, you know, the Me Too moment or movement and Hollywood women standing up and saying, you know, yes, I've had this unpleasant experience with men in my life. Like, all these women were standing up and everybody was freaking out. And it's, I don't want to say it's cooled off. It hasn't. It's evolving.
Okay.
Like, the whole conversation is maturing.
Right.
Like, 3 weeks ago, you couldn't say, no. You know, listen to the accused too. You couldn't say that. Now that the conversation is starting to evolve about different levels, and it's all not acceptable, but we can talk about the whole issue, because before it was just black or white, and there needs to be shades of gray and different colors. But I mean, there are still some things that are just no. And it's just a weird time where this conversation is going to go on. And I have faith that somewhere a couple of years down the road, we will all have learned from this.
Well, good. All right. So getting back
to your use of that word.
Yeah.
They've asked you to leave it hell alone. Drop it.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
I was trying to tie it into a conversation that I am comfortable having.
Right. No, gotcha.
You know?
Well, if we're not allowed to use it for a while, we're not allowed to use it for a while. But I think they will look back at history and, like, just think that is weird. Anyway, this guy, so I can't say some of the stuff he said, but let me just give you some.
Oh, okay. Yeah, back to that.
Some, you know, I'll just N-word it, I guess. Because, yeah, I was debated about how to even say that.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so, like, one of the guys had a UK shirt that had some, you know, our colors are blue and white. And, you know, they've been, now they make everything in the world almost with UK, if it's even remotely. I'm talking about University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
And some of it has some black in it, black streaks. You know, there's some white with some black trim around something.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so racist Joe Pesci was giving my buddy kind of jokingly hell about that.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying, why our colors are blue and white there, jackass. Why you got something with black on it? Or no, it would be even that. He never used the word, the N-word. Or he didn't use the word black.
Uh-huh.
It was always the N-word. So it was, yeah.
It's hard to even describe this conversation without using the N-word.
See what I'm saying? So he's giving my buddy heck. He's like, okay. Why do you have that, why do you have that N-word color in your shirt there, jackass? Colors are blue and white,
like
not N-word and white and black and blue or whatever. I mean, like that.
Okay, yeah. I understand. Like, it's so ridiculous that he's trying to use it so much. He's even using it in conversations where it has no place.
Yes. Right. Now, just slightly, you're seeing my conundrum a little bit.
Okay. Like, it's absurd to use it in that context.
That's right. Like, some of the stuff was absurd like that. Obviously a joke. Obviously not racist, except that he's using the word.
Except it is racist.
Well, I guess it is. Yeah. Well, yeah.
It is there.
Yeah. Anyway, well, his intent's not in that situation. That's what I mean. I don't even think he intends to be. I mean, he just tends to be funny.
Oh, I find it offensive. That would have made my skin crawl.
Well,
I would have had to come home and take, like, hot, scalding hot showers to get that off of me.
Well, just from that?
Uh-huh.
Well, then you wouldn't have made it. You wouldn't have made it.
Well,
hour
that, well if that was, I'm saying that experience.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Well, that was interesting. So that was that dude.
Okay.
And then there's Stoner Pete from Cincinnati. Poor old Stoner Pete. He was from here, so he has our hillbilly accent, but he lives right in the heart of downtown Cincinnati. And according to the New York guy, of course, right in the middle of N-word town is what he would kept telling him.
Oh.
Like, stuff like that. That's the whole weekend.
Oh.
That was the whole weekend of them.
Oh, geez.
The Stoner Pete, he has a good job. great career. All these people do. He's been divorced. That's one of their little, you know, their little circle of drama between these people that I could give a fuck about. But to them, you know, to them, it was, oh, I just couldn't believe. I remember when you all were going out and we were blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so they had a little bit of a little girly breakup session with his wife, too. So he's just telling random stories about them breaking up and just how it happened. And I thought one of the funniest things was he said, this is Stoner Pete in a real like stoner voice, dude. You know what I mean? Like kind of that low tone. He's been smoking so long that just, you know, it's like kind of a rhythm, but he didn't really know it. You know, you know, like that. So it's funny. So as he tells the story, it is kind of funny. But he said the final thing that happened with him and his wife at that time, and he said they had all kinds. And later I learned more. But the final one was they came home from something, some sort of a, I don't know, cocktail party, something where they were a little bit dressed up, I guess, from the way he described it. And he said as they came into their, I believe it was a condo that they owned, basically an apartment type situation or something.
Uh-huh.
They opened the door to their condo, which I'm sure was big. He was a pretty successful dude. And water is just squirting out of like the walls where a pipe has burst and there's just water everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You walk up to your door, you don't suspect anything. You open the door and whoo,
well,
that's what you got.
Yeah.
He said that when they opened the door, neither of them for just a second said a word because they're just kind of in shock about what they were witnessing in their condo. And his wife turned around to him and said, you know, I just can't deal with this anymore. And turned around, he said, walked downstairs to her car and went across town, stayed with her parents, and that was the start of the whole thing. Could you?
He said, nope.
That was it. Wow. That is a woman at her absolute wit's end, right?
Breaking point.
Like if that...
She just noped right on out of there.
If that disaster hadn't happened, they might have been married another 20 years. They've been married 20 years, apparently. And that's what it took to finally, for her to push the button, pull the ripcord, whatever, right?
Okay, I admire this woman. Okay, she is my hero. Because I don't, it's been like, I don't know, beaten into me. It's genetic or something. Like you can't, you're a sticker, you have to stick through this, like
stand
like,
by your man.
Yes it would be so hard for me to do that. Like I would have to get through the emergency and then be like, now you can handle things from here and walk off. I couldn't walk off at that point. I really couldn't. I think that takes a special kind of fuck this and a type of guts that I don't even have. I am amazed.
Well, every time Stoner Pete, well, we were up there a while, but, and there was, you know, there was drinking and stuff at night, of course. And every night or every kind of situation where he got a little tipsy or just straight drunk, he had some story about his wife that would come out then. And it's almost like he was embarrassed to say it. So that was his filter down.
Yeah.
And then the more he knew it, by the end of the week, like Joe Pesci's like, God, no wonder this woman left you. Like nobody's trying to be sympathetic anymore. He's like, for the love of God, nobody. I mean, he would be like, you can get a Chinese order wife to stay with you for this kind of behavior or blah, blah, blah. Again, he'd try to some racist, except he wouldn't use Chinese woman. He'd say chink or yeah, some.
Oh, some awful like that. Yeah. Oh, no.
So that was his humor. But anyway, like
but what were some of these stories?
Well, you've
told me some of them, and of course I've already forgot. Because,
well, most
like,
of them.
My mind has to blank them out. They're bad.
Well, you know, most of them. And as I say this, it must not have been a condo. Maybe it was a house. Or who knows, maybe they had a house and a condo. Because at one point, one of them was, and most of his story started like, dude, I'd been smoking some in the garage, watching a ball game, away from the wife. And, you know, I was pretty baked, man. I'll say it, you know, and then like one of them was, they mostly started with that. Like, dude, this one time, let me tell you this one time when I was really baked, and it was somehow his wife was talking to him, just an innocent at their talking to him. He was in the car. She's talking to him. He backed up and ran over her toe, apparently.
Oh,
broke her toe, crushed. I mean, it's a major freaking.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
yeah. Broken bones, cast, and big surgery. But anyway,
I'd be mad at you.
But he would always end it with something like, "Yeah, that didn't turn out very well. They don't like it when you do that." He said that a lot.
They don't like it.
They don't like that. That became kind of a. So he ran over his wife's toe. He got that, and then skiing. He mentioned something. He's like, "Yeah, you know." I'd toked up a bunch before we came out on the slopes that day. But, you know, me and being Charlotte, you know, I almost fell getting on one of these ski lifts, and I kind of grabbed her. And before I know it, like, this ski thing, like, had just knocked her, like it knocked her totally off. They had to hit the button, and she had fallen off the edge. He's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that day. That wasn't good. So this poor woman has, God knows how many physical
injuries,
and not like abusive, like intentionally abusive, but yeah, I don't know if you ever, our listeners ever try to get on a ski lift, but yeah, if you don't do it right, the seat just basically knocks you off the edge of the ramp.
Just into oblivion. You're just like, ooh.
It can be.
Yeah.
So that was old Stoner Pete.
That's not good. They don't like that.
they don't like that.
No.
So that was Stoner Pete. And then, you know, the only other one was John that I can tell much funny stories on. And it was just one of those, we're just glad we're not John, right?
Yeah. You were texting me some of this, like, on the way up there, and I was like, what?
Within an hour in a car with a stranger. Yeah, I mean, we're not, you know, we met each other less than an hour ago. Yeah, I get stories of one kid is in a mental institution over 72-hour suicide watch.
Uh-huh.
And his other child has had to get a lawyer for child abuse charges from his weird girlfriend.
That's not a good day for anybody.
Right? That's insane.
Yeah. And he's going skiing.
Oh, hell. He wanted to get out more than anybody.
Yeah.
He wanted to, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I can
he
understand.
He needed to get
I
out.
I can understand. I can, and these kids, well, like, how old are they?
College age.
Okay.
Yeah, about college age-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, and he seemed to have a good time and all that, but it was just one of those, like, 30 an hour into this relationship, I'm learning this, and I'm like, and then we don't have kids, of course, you all know that, except Chairman Meow.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just one of these things between me and Petra, like, wow, can you imagine? And thank God we don't have kids even worry about some craziness like that.
Yeah. There, I.
Not that that was a conscious decision why we don't have kids, but let's face it, if, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that shit at all.
There is that.
Our cat's neutered.
Gosh.
Spayed. She's spayed.
Yeah, whatever you do to cats. Her, yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah. What a burden. And then as you get into the story, first of all, his son, is dating apparently a psychotic, just a girl that's has, I think, a couple of kids by two different dads.
Uh-huh.
Had some sort of money come to her, like a large sum of money that she just blew through. And now she's just, I don't know. Just seems like not a good person. But yeah. She's beautiful. According to him, his son says she's just a knockout and blah, blah, blah. So his son, again, at that son age that we're all just dumb, especially for girls.
Wow.
Yeah, he's taken on this chick. And now this one of these chick's ex-husbands has called the police on his son for supposedly some abuse on one of these children.
Well, of course he assumes his son didn't do it.
Of course there's that. I don't know this dude. Kid might have beat him to death for all I know. But
yeah.
But who knows? I don't know.
Who knows? Oh, my gosh. That's bad. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, has he met the girlfriend? Is she that hot?
He says he's attractive. You know, old men speak for that has to be different for. She's cute. That's how you'd say it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're an old man and there's a young girl that's really attractive, you can't say, oh, God, she's hot. That sounds stupid. It sounds like you're being a pervy. But you're like, yeah, she's cute.
Okay.
Yeah, she's cute. All the guys did that at the ski trip, showing pictures of their daughter to everybody. I mean, they'd show.
Okay.
So I know that from that. But I'm just not so necessarily.
Well, yeah, no. You would never, ever describe somebody's daughter as hot to them, no. I would think.
These guys did a little bit in joking, but it was clearly a joke.
Okay, good.
Clearly the thing to say is, oh, yeah, she's cute.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. His son is dating somebody that's hot or cute.
Okay, so he agrees she's hot. Okay.
Yeah. So there's that.
God, and that was a long conversation.
Yeah, it was. Well, you're the one that asked. So I don't know. I don't know why his son did, but it's just a terrible situation to have to even think about.
Yeah, that's bad. Now, all right, the other kid.
His daughter.
Yeah.
Apparently got in a fight with her boyfriend to such a degree that he physically, according to neighbors, apparently five neighbors called the police for this fight.
Dang.
In their apartment complex. So it's not just this is something big.
Yeah.
So
that's not just raised voices. That's stuff hitting walls.
Who knows, right?
I don't think you call the police until it's gone on for a very long time or it sound like somebody got hurt.
Well, according to this guy, the boyfriend dragged his daughter out of the apartment by her legs. Like she wouldn't leave. It's one of those arguments like, I'm not leaving. You can't make me leave. And he's like, I'll make you. I will.
Yeah, it's my apartment.
Yeah, it's my apartment. I am going to make you leave. And he drags her out and then closes the door. And then somehow then it really apparently escalates into beating doors and screaming and cussing and blah, blah, blah. So they call the police. God. The police show up. And this girl, and the person even admits, the guy on the ski trip, John, that he, you know, his daughter's kind of, I don't know if Roth is a drama queen. That's his word.
Mm-hmm.
So she's being, even when the police get there, she doesn't really calm down.
Yeah.
And says something to the effect of, you know, crying and cussing, like, oh, I can't leave if I, you know, I just can't go on living if I can't get to see him right now. And if this just doesn't work out, I just don't know if I can go on living. And from John's talking to the police later, basically they said to her, and they probably had enough of her shit, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
They said, you just said the wrong word, young miss.
Yeah.
And she said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You can't do it. He said, I'm going to give you two choices, and you're going to choose option one or option two right now. And he said, according to John, the police officer said he was pretty dramatic about it. So John liked this part.
Yeah.
He liked this police officer for
This needed to happen.
Option
one,
I'm handcuffing you and I'm taking you to jail for disorderly conduct. Option two, you're going in a psych ward or a mental institution for 72-hour observation because we all just witnessed you threaten to kill yourself. And apparently that calmed her down. quickly, I think. Yeah. I don't know if she still kept whatever, but she ended up with the psych ward option.
Yeah.
And, so while we're up skiing, his kid was like into seven, the.
Well, at least he knows she's not going to be doing anything to herself and her boyfriend kid.
And got out while we were there. Like we got little text message updates on, oh yeah, she's out. She's doing good. And right. Asking, is she doing all right? How's she doing?
Seemed
to be okay, but my goodness, that's a lot to deal with, right?
So was this kid with her mom? Did she go back to the boyfriend's? What the fuck?
I think she had her own apartment somewhere, I assume. I don't know. I don't know where she went.
I think I'd go get her ass.
Yeah, I don't know where she ended up. But, so, that's some of my ski trip stuff there. And speaking of skiing, that time it was snowing here, too, in Eastern Kentucky.
Yes, yes. So, I pretty much locked myself in. And the first night you were gone, because it's been up on Netflix for a while, and I was like, finally, I caved. I watched the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Live action. That's on NBC, right?
No. The movie that Emma Watson.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was originally a cartoon.
Sure.
And, you know, they're remaking it. And it was adorable. It really was. And I was absolutely embarrassed because first, I was hormonal. It was a vital moment. And I'm sitting here watching this, and I remember the cartoon when I was much younger, not a kid, but much younger. And I'm just a crying every song. It was awful. I was a ball baby that night.
See, that's why guys, girls, that's why we need to separate once in a while so you can have a ball baby moment with Chairman Meow.
Yeah, I can laugh about it and talk about it with you. But I can't do that and be that embarrassed with you in the room.
That's funny. Oh, that's cute. I love it when I see you cry. I think it's sweet.
I cry at everything,
though. I think it's sweet.
Well, good.
It means you're passionate. I like that about you. I love that about you.
I appreciate that. I'm embarrassed by it. I can't help it. I hate that. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But I can laugh about it.
Oh, well.
So that was pretty funny. And then... then the other nights that you were gone, I binged through The Magicians because I don't think you ever care to watch that one.
The Magicians.
Season 2.
What channel normally on cable was that on?
Sci-fi.
That's a sci-fi channel show?
Yeah. They do. I mean, they say fuck on there.
Oh, yeah. They cuss.
I mean, yeah. It's intense.
Big time.
It's grown up. Smutty Harry Potter.
I just wonder when more of these, like Sci-Fi Channel, I'm wondering when they don't go right into topless nudity or R-rated nudity or something. What are they waiting on? Why isn't every channel basically like Netflix at this point, where you have such a range of programming? I mean, unless that's your bread and butter, I mean, you're not going to have that on the
ABC,
Sesame
CBS,
Street.
Yes, I hope.
You know, right on those, I guess, but. But you'd think, like the Sci-Fi Channel, why wouldn't they have some R-rated shows?
I would say this one is.
You think? No, we looked this up once. Like, you're allowed to say the word fuck.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know, like once every hour or there's some rule about it and still be PG-13. I'm almost sure because we looked up something. Yeah. Like one of the Marvel things had it.
And we were like,
how is that PG-13? But anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. But The Magicians, eh?
Yep.
Second season.
Dirty. Equally good. It was cute. I love
R-rated language Harry Potter. R-rated.
Well,
themes.
I mean, and the themes and all too. It's dark. It is adult.
No, okay.
I like it. I do. It's fun. It's one of those shows that I feel bad even making you sit through.
I'm glad you got to watch that one because, yes, I don't really care much for that one.
I made you watch one season of it. That was enough.
I do not care for The Magicians. Thank you very much.
Well.
I wish they would disappear. Wah, wah.
All right.
And then we came back. We had our little pot-smoking snowplower dude doing his thing. That's pretty fun.
That was funny.
We don't usually have that much snow. So I had to find a new snow plower this year. We ended up with with little Corey.
Uh-huh. Some little guy that had sense enough to start a lawn care business and get himself a snowblade for his pickup truck.
Snowblade for a big monster truck. That's when they come in handy.
Yep.
It does that.
And he's just going from parking lot to parking lot, raking in the money that night.
Heck
sure.
Yeah. I had to show him which parking lots to do. So I said, just pull up to my side door. You know, I'll come in and I'll show you around. So I get in, and obviously in this monster truck, it's snowing like hell, or it just finished snowing.
Uh-huh.
And, one, his girlfriend's in the back.
Uh-huh.
And she's cute.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's funny.
So she's hanging out with him.
Uh-huh.
And the whole truck just smells just like they just put out about five joints. Like, not even one. Like, they've just been smoking as much as they can. Yep. Smoke. It looks like a cartoon when I open the door.
You just bounce. Got in with Cheech and Chong.
Basically, yeah. And he's like, man, hope you don't mind my smoke. I'm like, dude, I don't care a bit. That's awesome.
Whatever.
That's fantastic, man. So him and his girlfriend, they drive me around town. Uh-huh. And I show them which parking lots to plow off. And that was all. They dropped me off and then, you know, give us the bill later. But those little guys, I just thought that was, what a great way. This guy's probably, he's young. He's probably 22, 23.
Uh-huh.
And his truck had professional, you know, whatever. I don't even remember. I don't even know his last name. But, you know, Jakey Joe's Lawn Care Service on the sign. You can just tell. I mean, he had a legitimate business going. And I'll guarantee you that night, we calculated, that dude made probably $5,000-$6,000 that night.
Good for him.
Guaranteed.
That may be, like, what holds him through the winter. He probably does snow dances.
Yeah, exactly. But isn't that a great gig?
Smoke,
that is. Nobody's on the streets. There's no danger.
Yeah.
This little town, he's plowing off.
Absolutely empty parking lot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
with his girlfriend.
Roll the streets up around here, and if it's snowing, nobody's getting out.
Smoke some pot and go to town, doing that stuff. Good for him. That's just great. Him and his girlfriend and a big bag of weed and making $6,000 a night.
That's funny.
Good for that dude. That's what I say.
Yep.
What you got over there?
Well, I found an article that kind of cracked me up when I read it. And part of it, it's geared more towards, I think, young professionals who are just now starting to eat in, quote, fancy restaurants.
Fancy restaurant.
It says, whether you're heading to a romantic Valentine's Day evening or an important business dinner, you probably have a pretty good idea of how to behave at a nice restaurant. But, you know, here's like some of these little fine details.
But just in case, millennial.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think we could use a brush up on this too.
I guess we can. All right. There's a lot. We have to blow through this.
I know. I'm kind of like.
You said there's.
Let's just buzz through this pretty quick.
You said there's 25, right?
25, yeah.
So 25 things not to do at a restaurant is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Or a fancy restaurant.
Fancy, yes, because Valentine's Day is coming up.
Hey.
All right. Number one.
Yep.
Don't place used utensils on the table.
Don't place used. What do you do with them?
You're supposed to leave them on the plate. And have you ever seen there's like some kind of code, like society code. Like you place them this way if you're just taking a break. You place them this way if you're ready for the server to pick them up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did not know that. And I have to say, I am probably guilty of that. But if you, okay, we're talking real fancy restaurants.
Yeah, where they bring,
we're
you don't get
serious.
New utensils.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. All right, yeah, down to old local Joe's Barbecue. You
better hold on to your fork because you ain't getting another.
That's right. Right. That's exactly what I was thinking. You take your fork and be like, why'd you take your fork? You haven't got your sandwich yet. That was for the, why do you throw it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shaky Joe would smack us in the face. All right, so this is super fancy.
Super fancy, yes.
All right,
yes.
So don't put your... Okay, I can do that one.
Yeah,
all right, got it.
Arrive starving. Don't do it.
Okay.
It says a multi-course meal at a fancy restaurant is meant to progress at a leisurely pace.
Oh.
From pre-dinner cocktails through post-dessert espresso. The servers are trained to give you plenty of time to peruse and discuss the menu, so it could be 45 minutes before you see the first course.
Good Lord. But then 45 minutes before you see the first course.
Yeah, but that's like when you go out to a dinner that you're there for 2 or 3 hours, I guess.
So don't show up starving like you're going to a Chinese buffet,
I think that's
right?
Something that we needed to know.
Probably. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't show up starving. Got it.
It says don't sit first. Avoid sitting down first if you're the guest. And then there's a big...
The guest should not sit down first.
Yeah.
That's probably good for anything, really.
Yep.
Okay.
Don't raise your voice to get the waiter's attention.
You don't clang on the table and clang your voice together? Okay, don't raise your voice to get your waiter's attention.
Uh-huh.
Well, if it's a fancy restaurant, they should be pretty in tune anyway.
They should be, yes.
Okay.
Don't use your outside voice.
Well, there's a lot of people need help with that.
I think so, too.
No kidding. That's an any place. Yeah. Stop it, people. What are you yelling at?
I know.
Gosh. Part of it's alcohol.
You know? I think that makes it. Yeah.
In all seriousness, scientific fact.
We talk louder.
We talk louder when we're the more we drink, because alcohol dulls our hearing. So we talk louder the same reason you'd have earphones in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. All right. Don't rush to serve yourself.
Why would you be serving yourself?
It says you may be.
Oh, you mean like your own
do-it-yourself yourself type, but in the context of elegant dining destination, a self-sufficient approach is not really appropriate. Wait to be led to and offered a table, for your server to pull out your chair before sitting down, for your server to place a napkin on your lap before doing so yourself, and for having your glass filled before you replenish it yourself.
Hmm.
I've never been to a restaurant that fancy, I don't think.
Nah, I don't know. Ruth Crisps? Is that fancy?
I don't think they're quite that fancy.
How's it get any fancier? Dining with the Queen of England?
I guess.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right. Don't be a do-it-yourselfer, huh?
Yep.
Well, it says,
don't pretend you're a wine snob. I like that one.
Don't pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I didn't know, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be ordering wine anyway.
Exactly.
Order bourbon.
It says don't eat really, really hard to eat foods.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, oysters and spaghetti and stuff like that.
Like the escargot. From Pretty Woman, right?
Yes.
The slippery little suckers.
Yes.
That was a cute moment in that movie.
That was funny.
So don't order the crazy stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good advice.
Yeah, I think so, too. And what if it was awful and you didn't like it? Then you have to sit there through your fancy meal.
Yeah.
Something
and
you
not
hated.
Eat it. Yeah.
Awful. Yeah, okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I think it means, too, like stuff that's really hard to eat and messy.
Oh,
you don't want to be getting stuff everywhere, especially,
right.
I don't know, this seems to be written from the point of view of you haven't done this before, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is a good one. Don't host a business dinner somewhere you haven't been before.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It says, don't eat faster than your dining companions. I think that makes it a race to be done last.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to.
Eh. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's going to be us. We're terrible. We're hillbillies.
Yeah. Well.
Said that a couple of times. It says, don't eat more than your dieting companions.
Screw that. I'm eating what I want.
Oh.
Don't eat more than your dining companions. Really?
Yeah.
Golly, this is some fancy etiquette.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well. Let the bill come to the table at group dinners. It says, suave entertainers never let the bill come to the table. They give their credit card to the maitre d' when they come in and they say, I'll sign the check on the way out. Wow. I guess if you're hosting some kind of big shindig deal.
I guess they're suave. That's what you just said.
That's said that on purpose.
I don't think you did. I think it's awesome.
This has been a great article for those words.
It has, hasn't it?
It has. Have no clue what to do with your napkin. All right.
It's saying what not. This is what not to do.
Yeah. The first rule of napkins. It goes on your lap only after the host puts it on his lap. The second rule, it never goes back on the table until the host or we all say we're ready to get up from the table. If you go to the restroom, you just put it on the chair. Oh, I didn't know that.
Put it on the chair?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I didn't think you were allowed to go to the restroom in this fancy meal we're talking about.
I didn't think you would either.
I think they'd kill you if you go before the host.
Yep. It sounds like it.
The host has all the power, but then they don't get to eat as much. That sucks.
Yeah.
The host should be the one eating everything.
The host should?
They should be able to remember that rule that they're not supposed to eat more than everybody else?
Yeah.
Or is it the other way around?
Well, I think it was for the guests. So the host should probably eat.
So you think that rule was the host should eat less?
Can we move on?
Yeah, okay. Move on. Whatever it is.
All right. Don't make loud complaints about your table not being ready. That's rude.
Don't make loud complaints. Okay. Uh-huh.
Don't dress like a slob. That's a good one.
Well, I think that's obvious.
Don't speak with your mouth full.
Okay. That'll be obvious again.
You're good, though.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Don't overreaching. Don't reach way over the table.
I'm seeing all these things in my mind as you read them.
Yeah.
All right. Who would do that? But don't do it anyway. Don't do it anywhere.
I know.
That's not this fancy restaurant either.
Yeah. Don't lose your temper at a server.
I guess there's some jerks out there.
Yeah.
I think waiters get treated awful in general.
Oh, they do. They do. Don't check your mail.
No, that would be hard for people. You can write that one off.
Yeah. And it says don't put your phone or keys or purse on the table.
Okay.
This is great. I am going to butcher this word.
Okay.
Not on purpose. Telling the sommelier, sommelier.
Wow.
That's the wine expert. Price range. It says, unless you're a wine expert, you probably have a few basics to look for in a good wine. Full body, dry, etc. But one of your top concerns, unless you're putting it on the company card, is the price of a bottle. Yeah, but while wine's price may be top of mind, that doesn't mean you should say that out loud. Instead, and that's funny. It's kind of like price shaming or something.
I guess.
Instead, ask the wine expert for a few recommendations of a wine that would go well with your order. And go with the one closest to the price point with which you are comfortable. If none of the ones he suggests are at a price you like, point to a wine that is and ask if that one might go well with your meal. Wow, that's kind of one of those.
That's too complicated.
That is complicated.
Damn, screw that.
I don't. That one's deep. That's like the silver
much,
where.
Yeah, that's too much code words and. Man, yeah, this is.
It is. That is high society, and we are not.
I've never eaten at any meal like you're describing ever.
I don't think so either, but
okay. That's fine. I don't
care. Stick your pinky in the air when you drink wine.
What the fuck? Who the hell would do that?
I don't know. That's funny.
Like, is somebody thinking they're imitating some
maybe
something they've seen on a fancy movie?
This is all over the place. Yep. This is a great article.
Nah.
Don't talk about the prices.
Okay.
It says, it's a nice restaurant. The prices are probably going to be ridiculously high. That doesn't mean you need to point it out. That's funny.
That's great when you get old Jim Bob pulling out his coupon, too. Is that on the list? Not bringing a coupon? This has everything on there.
Let's see. Don't place your rumpled, dirty napkin on the table.
Well, where are you supposed to put it?
Your napkin should never go on the table once it's been used. If you excuse yourself for any reason, place the napkin in the seat of the chair.
Hmm. Okay.
Don't return the wine. Let's see. It says, while the elaborate ceremony of Corking the wine and offering a few sips to you to taste may seem to imply that you can decide whether you want to keep the bottle or not. This is really not a choice. Unless the wine has somehow gone off or really isn't very good, returning the bottle after the restaurant has opened it is not very polite or appropriate.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't feel like returning the bottle of wine either anyhow.
Right. You take it. Why would anybody return?
Yeah.
You're just going to have to, It's going to suck it up and drink it, damn it.
That's funny that somebody would think that they, I don't know, people are odd.
I guess. Yeah, who knows?
But that was from Best Life. Alex Daniel and Will Mail wrote that article.
That's all of them?
Yeah.
That was 25 things.
25. I got through them pretty quick because I wouldn't let you get bogged down.
That was good. That was good. Oh, well. We saw an interesting play last night.
Yeah. We have some buddies from out of town that their community theater does some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
And we got to go watch 1984.
The musical.
It's not a musical.
I think that's what this one actress basically almost thought.
Bless her heart. I think so, too. She was cute, but I think they changed when they wrote a play. They changed the character and adapted the character.
I don't know. I feel bad, like we talked about last night. I feel bad criticizing local people that do play, because we're lucky to have any place that even shows a play within 100 miles of us.
Yeah.
So local hillbillies like us who are trying to be actors, God love them. That's great.
Yeah.
I really truly
have traveled a long way to.
Right. So I don't want to critique too bad. Okay. So that being said, we're about to critique. Now, this play, 1984, most people who listen to our show has probably read the book or you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's obviously a very dark, awful look at society, what it could be in the future. Just
Well, it was written, pre-World War II?
I don't remember exactly.
I think it was, and it.
I think actually it was very soon after World War II, actually.
Okay.
Because a lot of the, I don't know.
I don't know. But either way.
Point is, dark.
It was supposed to happen in the year 1984, right. and I think a lot of kids in our generation probably had to read the book, and I think fewer kids now have to read 1984.
Well, that's my question. And they rewrote it for a play, and I'm sure they just bought it. I mean, our local people didn't rewrite it themselves.
No, huh?
So they had to have purchased this. Well, in fact, it said on the billboard, like, rewritten for stage by somebody.
Uh-huh.
One of the characters was almost a comedy. The girl in the play was almost being comedic in being so
absolutely so young and silly and juvenile.
Yeah, that's the words. Yeah, just silly.
Yeah.
And my question was the play meant to have her character be like that? Because she was, again,
I think
not as being a local act. I mean, she was clearly, that's how she was playing it. That's how she thought it should be played.
Absolutely. And I think it was because
I think it was written to be.
In the book, I recently listened to the book, the audio book. In the book, that character was a seductress. You know, she had multiple affairs with other men, and she enjoyed the thrill of.
But she also seemed cunning.
Yes, exactly.
And she was one of them.
Yes,
who, she was intelligent.
Yes. She was fully developed character. And in the end, when they're arrested at the end of their affair, she had put on makeup and stuff like a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the stage play, this character is not cunning at all. She just, all she wants is to get married. They didn't get married in the book.
The play focuses on their relationship, which is odd too.
Yeah. Yeah. And She's very juvenile. It's pointed out that she's much younger than he is, and instead of dressing up as a prostitute, she has on a pretty dress. And I just want my husband to pay attention to me. Even her lines in this were, she was so diminished. It was so
dumbed down.
Yeah, that character was crap character.
She would literally.
That actress was playing that character exactly how that shitty playwright wrote it.
Okay. Well, as we're saying this, I'm developing the same thing. Because that's what we were thinking about was mm-hmm. whether our local people were just misinterpreting because they never read the book and didn't understand.
I bet they did. I bet they all read the book. And I think they understood. But
if you read the book, it would be even harder to play any character in that in a silly way.
Yeah, but it was written that way. It was clearly written out.
Well, if you ever get a chance to see 1984, the play out there, don't. It sucks.
Because Hank didn't like one character. He really was hung up on that.
That one character was in almost all of it.
Yeah, she was. But I thought overall, I thought the lead actors, both of them, I forget their names.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
They were both really solid actors, and the one actress that you're not supposed to like that turned people in and stuff. I thought she did that role very well.
I thought so too.
She was a good actress.
Even our local actors and actresses, I think it's great.
I thought it was well acted.
Anybody that wants to do something like that, I'm very appreciative of it.
Yeah.
Well, I just didn't like that one character, and that one character was in a lot of it. By the end of it, actually, the scenes that she was not in, I thought were superb.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, for our local people, I thought so anyway, right?
Well, I don't even think you have to say for our local people. I thought they put on a hell of a good play, and I thought the acting was great. I really did.
Well, they did. Well, and then last night we were joking too about the, we're watching 1984. And the stock market had a giant
666 point drop. Yeah.
Right. The mark of the beast. Blah, 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 blah.
You came in thinking I would have already heard this, and I'm just like, no.
Oh, yeah. Just type in a Twitter search for stock market crash or, something like that. Or even just the 666. And I'm sure
that's going to be,
Because everybody's got memes going out there now. And
it is kind of funny.
Yeah. So we were paranoid the world's coming to the end.
Yeah, because
666 day.
We've got tickets to 1984. Yeah.
And we're like, is the universe telling us something and we're not listening? And if something crazy happens, we will for sure look back and like, we should have listened.
We should have known.
We were, some higher power was trying to tell us. We just couldn't take the hint. Right?
Right.
So we are back. Where can everybody find us, Miss Petra?
Well, they can find our website, hillbillynerdtalk.com, and from there they can follow you on Twitter, obviously.
Yep.
And I'm active on Pinterest.
And that's what do you think?
That's it for this week, and we'll talk to you in a week or so.